Shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, with the words Lama Mefisim. Our Mishnah taught us that every day the Kahana would get together 4 times to do a pious, to do a gairal, to do a lottery, to determine which Kohen should do which Avodah. And our Gemara asks, Lama Mefisim, why do they cast these lots? Says the Gemara, Lama Mefisim, why do they cast the lots? Kedamaran, as we explained, that there was machloikis amongst the Kahanim when we allowed it to be done in other methods, where people came to get hurt, and that's why Chazal established Gairolis. So what's the Gemara's question? Ella explains the Gemara its question. Lama Mefisim v'chayzim Mefisim. Why were the Gairolis done so many times? Why couldn't have they all been done at one time? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kedei lahargish kol ha'azara. They wanted to get the excitement up in the Azara to realize how special and significant the Avodah was. So instead of doing the Gairolis at one time, it was done at 4 distinct times. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ashiyacht of Nam Tesoid, together we make an Eitzah, Bebeis Alakim Nahalf Baragish, we should go in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home with excitement. And the Gairolis should be done with excitement. Explains the Sfasemis, if there was a requirement to do the Gairolis 4 times, so if we learnt at the beginning of our Perek, that originally the Trumas Hadeshin was not done through Gairol, so how do we have 4 Gairolis? The first Gairol was done for Trumas Hadeshin. So answers the Sfasemis that originally the Shechita of the Karmen Tamid and the Zrika of the Karmen Tamid were not done in one Gairol, rather they were divided into 2 Gairolis, but that's how they had 4 Gairolis. B'mam Mefisim, which clothing did the Kohanim wear when they did the Gairol? Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, the Big Day Chol, they didn't wear the Big Day Kohuna, they wore the regular garments. Shesh Amar Big Day Kodesh, they wore the Big Day Kohuna. Rav Nachman Amar Big Day Chol, Rav Nachman says that they wore regular garments. The Amrit, the Big Day Kodesh, if we will tell them, we will allow them to do the Avoida in Big Day Kodesh, Ikebal Izroyas, there were people who were strong, the Chamsiva Avdi, that if they lost the Gairol, they would immediately run ahead and do the Avoida and not let the people who legitimately won the lottery do the Avoida. If Shesh Sam Big Day Kodesh, we did it with the Big Day Kodesh were worn, the Amr Big Day Choyal, if we say that they wore the Big Day Choyal, Agav Chavusei, because somebody got so excited that he won the Gairol, he may come immediately, Mikri V'Avdi, run to do the Avoida, not realizing that he's not wearing the Big Day Kodesh, and that the halacha is that Big Day Kodesh obviously must be worn in order to do the Avoida. So that's why they told him to wear the Big Day Kodesh already when they did the Gairol, so that in case in their excitement they immediately ran to do the Avoida, they would be wearing the Big Day Kodesh. The Beis Halevi asks that how could Rav Sheshes say that they wore the Big Day Kodesh when they did the Gairol? As we explained earlier, the Avnet, the belt worn by Kohen Hedget, was Shatnes. It was a mixture of wool and linen. And the reason he was allowed to wear that Shatnes is because the Torah said that that is one of the Big Day Kohuna, which may be worn when doing the Avoida. But if this is not an Avoida, how does they have a permission to wear an Avnet, which is Shatnes? And in fact, that's why the Beis Halevi says that they did not wear the Avnet, even according to Rav Sheshes, that they did the Gairol in wearing the Big Day Kodesh, they did not wear the Avnet, which was Shatnes. The Shus Yaakov says that the heter of wearing the Avnet, which is Klayim, is not limited only during the actual avodah. It is also permitted to wear it, anything which is tzorich avodah, for the purpose of avodah. And since the pious was l'tzorich avodah, therefore they were allowed to wear the avnet, which was shatnas. Specifically, explained the Mefarshim, now that we explained that there was a concern of mikri v'avdi, that they're going to come to do the avodah while wearing Bigdei Chayil, so certainly he's allowed to wear the Avnet, because we're concerned that in his excitement that he won the Goyrol, he'll quickly want to do the Avodah, and he will have forgotten to put on the Avnet. The Migdash Tovar explains that one of the Avodahs for which there was a pious was the Dishon HaMenorah. And the Dishon HaMenorah, the Ramban holds that just like by Haromah Station, when they took off the ash from the Mizbeach, as we learned, they did not wear the same Bigdei Kahuna because they didn't want to get their Bigdei Kahuna dirty. So too, by the Dishon HaMenorah, did they not wear the regular Bigdei Kahuna. Therefore, says the Migdash Tovar, if somebody won the opportunity to do the Dishon HaMenorah, even though, according to Rav Sheshes, he was wearing the Bigdei Kodesh during the Goyrol, he would take off those Bigdei Kodesh and put on the lesser Bigdei Kodesh which were worn for the Dishon HaMenorah. And the Gvuras Ari explains that not only, according to Rav Sheshes, not only would a Bigdei Kodesh put on during the Avodah, but so too was Kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim done before the pious, because since the halacha is that before doing the avodah, kiddush yudayim v'raglayim has to take place. And again, if our Gemara of Sheish has taught us that there is a concern of mikru v'avdi, then in the excitement of winning the goyrol, they're going to quickly do the avodah. We also have to be concerned they're going to do the avodah without doing kiddush yudayim v'raglayim first. So therefore, says the Gvuras Ari, that the kahanim must have done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim first before they approached doing the pious, before approaching doing the lottery. Om Rav Nachman, Menor Aminala. Rav Nachman says that the pious was done while the Kahanim wore the Bigdei Chol, regular clothing, not the Bigdei Kodesh. Says Rav Nachman, from where do I know? Because it says in the Mishnah, that now we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Tamid, Masrul Chazonim, after the Goyrol was done, the Kahanim were given over to attendants, by Mafshitim as Bigdeim, who took off their garments, V'loimunichim aleim el mechnasayim bavad, left on them only their mechnasayim, the pants, my laf, who is the Mishnah referring to? Ba'oysin shezachu lapayis, the people that won the Goyrol. And what does the Mishnah say? That after winning the Goyrol, then and only then did they put on the Bigdei Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes, Loi, the Mishnah is referring to Beloysen Shloi Zoch Lepayis, regarding the people who do not win the Goyrol. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that they took off the Bigdei Kodesh, since they did not win the Goyrol, so there's no need for them to have on the Bigdei Kodesh, and that's how they change in to the Bigdei Chayil. And says the Gemara, Hochanam Mistabra, that seems to be the right way to understand that Mishnah. This Al-Qadat Tech Pais, if you can explain that the Mishnah is referring to the people who won the Goyrol. And the Mishnah is teaching us the Halacha regarding putting on the Bigdei Kodesh after the pious is won. And the Mishnah said, they left on the regular pants, which would mean that they put on all the other Bigdei Kodesh, and then they put on the Mechnasayim, the Mechnasay Kodesh, the pants of the Bigdei Kahuna. Says the Gemara Vatanya, could that be the proper order, that the Mechnasayim of the Bigdei Kodesh were put on last? We learned in a Braisa, Midnayin, Shlai Dova Kodel Mechnasayim, how do we know that the first garment of the Bigdei Kahuna that's put on should be the Mechnasayim? Tamaloyma Mechnasay Bad Yel Basaray. So if the Mishnah there is referring to putting on Bigdei Kodesh, how could it be that the Mechnasayim were put on last? Vidach. And how could Rav Nachman explain that Mishnah? He'll explain Holokasha. This is not a difficulty. Hochtari. Acha the Malayim Big Day Chol, as long as they're wearing the Big Day Chol, Mabish Naisam Mechne Kaidish. First they put on the Mechne Se Kaidish. Vaimafshit Naisam Big Day Chol. That means they didn't want to completely undress them and put on then the Mechne Se Kaidish. Rather, they took off the Mechne Se Chol. They took off the weekday pants, left on all the other clothing, then put on the Mechne Se Kaidish, which had to be the first pants put on, as we just explained, and then by mafshit nois a big day choil, and then they took off the big day choil. Would they only at that point had on the mechnasayim, which were big day kaidish, and then they put on the rest of the big day kaidish? So the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that they never would have stayed with no clothing at all. Amrav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, "No, I mean Allah. From where do I know that the kahanim wore the big day kaidish when they did the pious?" The Tanya. We learned in the Brisa. Lishkas Hagazus. There was the Lishkas Hagazus. This was one of the changes. Chambers in the Azara. Kamin Basiliki Gedoyla Haisa. It looked like a large basilica. Rashi says, a large house. Pious B'mizracha. The lats were done on the east side of that chamber. The Zokain Yoshiv Marava, and a Zokain sat in the western side during the pious. There's a machlokes Rishonim what the purpose of this Zokain was. Rashi says he was the one that taught them all the halachas of the pious. The Ritva says he was the one that chose the number, as we said the other day, that there was a number picked, and that's how they finally chose who would win the lottery. So this Zokain is the one that chose the number. Other Rishonim say, as we've been explaining many times, the Lishkas Hagazus is the place where the Sanhedrin sat. This Zokain was part of the Sanhedrin, and if case there were any disputes came up during the pious, he would settle any disagreements. Continues the Braisa, for Kahanim Mukofim V'Ovnikim in Becholya, the Kahanim stood in a circle like the shape of a brooch. That means all the Kahanim stood in a circle. V'Amamona Bo V'Noitel Mitznefes Merosh Shalechmehen, the person would come, the administrator would come, take off the Mitznefes from one of the Kahanim. That would be the first Koyin from which V'Yoybin Shememena Pais Maschel, from him the Pais would begin. Tosfos points out that here, Al Gemara is calling the hat that a Kohen Hedjit wore Mitznefes. Generally, we find that the hat that the Kohen Gadol wore is a Mitznefes, and that the hat that a Kohen Hedjit wore was called a Migbas. So says Tosfos, in the Torah, in the Chumash, indeed that is the case. Kohen Gadol's hat is called Mitznefes, Kohen Hedjit's hat is called Mikbas, and they weren't actually identical. Taisha says the Kohen Gadol's hat was somewhat smaller than the Kohen Hedjit's hat. But in the Lashon HaMishnah, in the Lashon of the Gemara, the Kohen Hedjit and Kohen Gadol's hat were both called Mitznefes. V'is al-kadatach b'big dechoil, ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Kahanim wore big dechol during the pious, the question is mitznefes b'big dechol me'ika. Does a kohen hedjit wear mitznefes during his in his regular garments? It must be, says Rav Sheshes, that the pious was done wearing big day kodesh. Says the Gemara in. The Gemara says that this is not a proof. K'tani Rav Yehuda v'tamer Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, kohen she'asu lo imek tainus, a kohen whose mother made him a shirt, a garment, over by avodas yachid. It's allowed to do a private avoider wearing that beged. So here too, the Kohanim had clothing which was not Big Day Kodesh, that was similar to the Big Day Kodesh. It looked similar, although it did not have the Kedusha of the Big Day Kodesh. It was not made from the funds of the Tzibur, and that was what they wore during wearing the pious, but not necessarily the Big Day Kodesh. Rashi says that what does it mean that a Kohen may do an avoidas yochid, a private avoider, when he wears these begodim that look similar to the Big Day Kodesh but aren't exactly the Big Day Kodesh? So Rashi says he's allowed, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to carry out the kafel macht, the shovel, and the spoon from the Kodesh HaKadosh and Yom Kippur wearing these clothing. Other Rishonim explain that the Kohen Gadol, as we will learn later in our Masechta, would read from the Torah during the day of Yom Kippur. That was what he was allowed to do when wearing these begodim that were made from private funds. Amar Abaye, based on the brisa that we just learned, Abaye teaches us Shmamina, Lishkas Hagozes, the Lishkas Hagozes, Chetzi Bekodesh, half of it was in an area that has the Kedusha of the Azara, the Chetzi Bechol, and half of it was an area that does not have that level of Kedusha. Furthermore, Shmamina, Shnei Pesachim Hayula, it had two doors, Echet Pesuch Bekodesh, one door opened up to a place that's Kodesh, Vechet Pesuch Bechol, and one opened up to an area which is not Kodesh. This Sakadatach explains Abaya. If you're going to say that this entire area, Kula Bekodesh, is considered a Mokam Kodesh, so it's said in the Brisa that we just learned that Zokin Yoshib Marova, that the Zokin from the Sanhedrin sat on the western side. Vamamar, asked the Gemara, we learn, En Yeshiva Bazara, no one may sit in the Azara, Ela Malcha Beis Tavid, only the Malcha Beis Tavid. So if this area has the Kedusha of the Azara, how could the Zokin sit there? So it must be that it has the status, at least part of it, the west side of it, has the status of a Mokim Chol. So Rashi says that the reason nobody's allowed to sit in the Azara, it says in the Pasuk, Lamoid L'Shores, that in the Azara you stand to do the Avodas Hashem, sitting is awesome. In Masechet Sanhedrin, Rashi explains that it's a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai that one may not sit in the Azara. And in Masechet Saita, Rashi says that it's not a deraisa, Lamed L'Shores, it's not a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, rather he says it's an issue of Kvod Shemayim, that it's not Kvod Shemayim to sit in the Azara. Tosfos asks, if we're saying that no one is allowed to sit in the Azara, how could Kohanim eat the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The halacha is that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kabbalas which are Kodesh HaKadoshim, must be eaten in the Azara. They certainly should not be eaten in a standing position. So how could the Kohanim eat Kodesh HaKadoshim? So our Rishonim that say that when we say here that sitting is prohibited in the Azara, it means sitting on a chair. Sitting on the floor is permitted. And the Kohanim might have eaten the Kabbalas sitting on the floor. However, others say that of course, even though we're saying that it's also to sit in the Azara only for a Malchay based on it, that's for eating or catching kalim or doing other avoiders. But eating Kodesh HaKadoshim, since eating Kodesh HaKadoshim is considered an avoider, because the halach is Kohanim Oichlim, the Kohanim eat the Kabbonis, Ubalim Miskaprim, and the owners of the carbon have a kapara. So therefore it's considered an avoider, and if that's considered an avoider, the latter sit there. Others explain, Lamashcha. The Torah says that the Kabbalah should be eaten Lamashcha, B'derech Gedua, K'derech Shemlochim Oichlim, like great people, like significant people eat, and certainly, therefore, the Torah is telling us that even though normally one may not sit in the Azara, when eating Kabbalah, he may. Tosfos Rid explains that when the halacha is said that one may not sit in the Azara, it's only in an area which directly is visible to the Beis Hamikdash. So it's not covered to sit in such an area. However, anywhere else in the Azara, like these chambers, which are not directly, a chamber which is not directly facing the Beis Hamikdash, one would be allowed to sit, and that's where Tosfos Rid says the Kohen would eat the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, the Lishkas HaGozes that we're discussing here did face the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore the Gemara has a question, if it's in the Azara, how can one sit there? So the Gemara said that Malchi Beis David, people who come from, kings who come from the line of David HaMelech, may sit in the Azara. Why? So the Mashah explains, since the Beis HaMikdash represents the Makam HaMelucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows the kingdom of Hashem in the world. And David HaMelech and his family represent who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants should be the Melech Yisrael, who should be the rulers of a Klal Yisrael. So it's most fitting that the Melech who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, the king who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants should be king over us, should sit in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace, Kaviyachol. The Ostrovtzer explains this way. He says there are two reasons why a person would sit. One, a person wants to sit to show that he is a king. He's sitting on his throne. He's sitting on a very distinguished seat. Or a person sits, on the other hand, because he's tired and weak. He says, the Malchei Yisrael, the concern was that were they to sit in the Azara, it would be to show that they were trying to show how great they were and that they were allowed to sit even in the Azara. However, Malchei Beis David, who we know certainly acted properly, would not sit in the Azara to show how great they were. On the contrary, they would only sit in the Azara because they were weak from trembling from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that they were standing in his holy Azara, and therefore they were allowed to sit there. On the other hand, if we're going to say that this area where the Gerolos took place was completely an area which is not Kadosh, so then the question would be, Pais b'mizrocha, how could the lottery been done on the east side of that room? V'be'inon, v'beis elokim, nahalach baragish. As we explained at the beginning of the shiur, the pious has to take place, v'beis elokim, v'leka, if that room doesn't have kedusha. Elishmamina, we must say, had was this room built, chetzi v'kodesh, half was an area which was as Kadosh, where the pious could take place, the chetzi b'chol, a place, half it was chol, which doesn't have the kedusha, and therefore the zokain could sit over there. Tosfos asks, if there's an issue that the pious should take place, but based on the kim, so then it should have been taking place in the Azor itself, not in one of the side rooms, in a side chamber. So Tosfos says two answers which have relevance. One answer Tosfos gives is that during the pious, the mitznefes of one of the kahanim was removed, and you can't stand in the Azara without having a covering on one's head. So it must be that the pious should be done not in the Azara proper. And the Magen Avraham, based on this Tosfos, says from here we see that standing without a head covering for a man is only in the Azara, or he says it would be the same in a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash. But if one is standing still, not in a Makom Kadosh, like in this case where he stood in the Lishka, there he could stand without a head covering. However, there's a machloikus amongst many of the Achronim that say, who says that the Magen Avraham's proof is definitive? Perhaps they say that the situation here was one in which he wore a yarmulke under the mitznefes, and since he wore a yarmulke under the mitznefes, he was not left without a head covering for a while. That's the question that they ask. So there is indeed a machloikus if the kohen wore a yarmulke under the mitznefes. If we'll say that he wore a yarmulke under the mitznefes, there is no proof that the kohen or anyone may stand without a covering on his head even for a short while. If on the other hand he didn't wear a yarmulke, the Magen Avraham's proof is right. Someone who explained that the machloikis if he wore a yarmulke or not is really based on another machloikis. We spoke the other day when the mitznefes was taken off the person by whom the count would begin, did he remain without the mitznefes for the entire duration of the count, or is only for that short while when he took off the mitznefes that we started counting by him, but immediately put the mitznefes back on? If we'll say that they just took off the mitznefes for a moment to start counting by him, and then immediately he place the mitznefus on his head, so then he doesn't have to wear a yarmulke, because it's a short while. It's not in the Azara proper, so he could be for that split moment without a yarmulke. If, on the other hand, he remained for a while without the mitznefus, till the count was completed, so therefore, we'll say he wore a yarmulke not to remain standing for such a long time without any head covering. But Tosfos has a different reason why the pious did not take place in the Azara. Tosfos says, because since we lived in the Braisa, that the Kohanim stood in a circle during the pious, if the pious would have been done in the Azara, it would come out that some of the Kohanim were standing in the Azara with their backs facing the opening to the Beis HaMikdash, which is, of course, a lack of proper Derech Eretz. And based on this, the Mishnah Berurah says that one should be careful when standing in a shul not to stand with his back to the Aron Kodesh, unless it's Letzairich, he's holding the Sefer Torah, or saying a drasha. And therefore he says, if in a shul there are seats between the bima and the Aron Kodesh, they should not be set up in a way like a table where people sit on both sides of the table, and therefore some people will have their backs to the Aron Kodesh. They should all be set up as seats facing the Aron Kodesh, because one is not allowed to stand with his back facing the Aron Kodesh. Now Abayi is going to prove that this area had two openings. If this lishka, this chamber, only had one opening, and we'll say that that opening opened up to the Azara, Zokin Yosh B'Marava, so we still would have a problem allowing the Zokin to sit in the west side of this room. Because Vatnan, we have learned in the Mishnah Maisa Sheni, Halishkas Habnuis Bechol, if you have a chamber that's built in an area which is not Kaddish. However, Upsuchas L'Kaddish, it's open to an area which is Kaddish, Toichen Kaddish, that area has the status of Kaddish. So if it's going to have only one opening to the Kaddish, it will be Kaddish. So we haven't accomplished anything. How can we allow the Zokin to sit there? If on the other hand, if we'll say it only had one opening to an area which is not Kaddish, pious from Mizrach, so again, how could the pious take place in the east side of this room? V'tanan, benuyas b'kaidish, an area, a room that's built in an area which is kaidish. However, if pesucha is l'chol, if it's opening to an area which is not kaidish, toichen chol, that room has the status of chol. And the pious, as we just explained, had to be done in an area which is kaidish. El lav shmamina, we must explain. Shnei psachim, hayla, it had two doors. Echad pesuch b'kodesh, the door on the east side opened up to an area which is kodesh, and therefore the east side had the status of kodesh, and therefore the pious could take place on the east side. Echad pesuch l'chol, the west side opened up, had a door opening up to chol, and therefore that area had the status of chol, and therefore the zokein was allowed to sit there. The Pnei Menachem explains al pidrush, the Mishnah that we just learned, the Mishnah Masechta Maaseh Sheni. He says, sometimes you have a situation where a person is b'chol, he's in an area which is not kaddish, he's by work or he's by other areas, but psucha is l'kaddish, his mind is thinking about kaddish, he's thinking that I'm working so that I could support people who are learning Torah, so I could go after work to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Psucha is l'kaddish. He's in chol, but his mind is open to kaddish. So the area has a status of kaddish. But sometimes, chas v'shalom, it's just the opposite. A person is sitting in an area which is kaddish, but his mind is wandering l'chol. His mind is wandering to places that are not kaddish. He's thinking about other narishkeiten. So even though he's sitting in a place that's kaddish, it's considered like he's b'chol. It's certainly not considered that he's in a makom kaddish. Now the Mishnah goes on to describe what was done during the second lottery. Hapayis Hasheni, the second lottery, Mishaychet, who should do the Shechit of the Karban Tamid, Mizorik, who should do the Zrik of the Karban Tamid, Mi Medash Mizbeach HaPnimi, who's going to clear the ash from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or Mi Medashin as the Menorah, who's going to clear the ash from the Menorah. So there are a number of questions and issues to raise in learning this Mishnah. The first question is that the cleaning of the Mizbeach and the Menorah took place before the bringing of the Karban Tumah. So shouldn't the person winning the pious, the first one, be the one that's going to clean the Mizbeach and the Menorah, and only then approach the Karban Tumah? So there are a number of answers given. One answer is, since the main avoider is bringing the Karban Tumah, that's why, even though that wasn't actually done first, the person who won first did the Karban Tumah, and the next winners, the next people, did the other avoiders. Another answer is that the Karban Tumah to a degree was done before Dishin Mizbeach HaPnimi and Dishin HaMenorah, because the Karban Tumah was checked if it was not blemished first. Or the Gra says they used to shecht the Karban Tumah and do the Zrikas Adam of the Karban Tumah, and only then did they do the Dishin Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishin HaMenorah, and therefore, and afterwards they went back to complain the Karban Tumah. So in a way, the Karban Tumah was done first. The Rishonim ask that the first pious that our Mishnah mentions is Shoichet. Who's going to do the Shechita? But we know, as we have learned and will continue to learn, that Shechita is Ksher Bizar, that even a Zar may do the Shechita. So why is there a pious for the Shechita? The Mefarshim answer that even though Shechita Ksher Bizar, the Kahanim always insisted on doing the Shechita themselves, because the Kahanim, because the Kahanim wanted to show how choshev, how significant the Avodah was to them, or other Rishonim explain that this halacha, the Shechita Ksher Bizar, specifically by Karban Tumah, is only b'di'evit. L'chatchilat should be done by a kohen, and therefore we had a pious which kohen will do the shechita. Rashi says that the first person who won the pious did the shechita, and the next person did the zrika. The Rambam, however, says that the first winner did the zrika. Since the zrika, as we know, is the main aspect of bringing the carbon, so the first winner got the zrika. And according to Rambam, we would have to change the order of the Mishnah. We would have to say mi zoyrik or mi shoychit. Mi medash mizbech apnimi. The Rabbi Tanura says that whoever won the right to do dish mizbech apnimi, he was also the person that did the ketores. And the Ritva says that the person who won the right to do the zrika of the dam of the Karban Tumah also won the right in to do the ketorah of the Avrim, to burn the limbs of the Karban Tumah. As far as Dishin HaMenorah, the Rishonim explain that Dishin HaMenorah was done by more than one kohen. So the person who won the right to do the Dishin HaMenorah, the two Kahanim that stood next to him also assisted him in doing the Dishin HaMenorah. Other don't hold that way. They say that one person won this right, and if he needed any assistance, he could choose any kohen that he wanted. And the Rabbi Tanura says that the person who won the right to do the Dishin HaMenorah also was the person that did the Hadlokas HaMenorah, lighting the menorah. Then, Mi Ma'al Avaram L'Kevis. Then the next people who won in this pious, in these 13 people, were who had the right to bring up the limbs of the Karban Tumah onto the Kevis. That Kahanim would take limbs of the Karban Tumah and put them on the lower half of the ramp. And we'll speak about in the tomorrow shiur more about this. How were the limbs divided? Harosh v'regel. One kohen would carry up the head of the Tumah and the right hind leg. The Tosfos Yeshanim says that he would carry the head in his right hand and the foot in his left hand. The next kohen would carry shtei hayadayim, the two forelegs. The third kohen would carry uketz v'regel, the tail and the left hind leg. Hachaz of Agera, fourth kohen, would carry the breast and the neck. Ushtei the fanis, and the fifth kohen would carry the two flanks of the animal. A sixth kayin would carry krabayim, the intestines. The soilus, a seventh kayin, would carry the fine flour that came with the carbon mincha, that came along with the carbon tamid. The chavitim, an eighth kayin, would carry the chavitim. Every day we learned the kayin gadol would bring a carbon mincha, a carbon mincha's chavitim, from his own personal funds, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. And although the mincha was owned and donated by the kayin gadol, it was offered by kayin hedget. And the ninth kayin would bring hayayin, carry the wine. There was a nisach hayayin every day with the carbon. Since both the nisach hayayin and the soilus were all considered carbon tamid, so they were all brought together. Shloisha also kahanim zachabad. A total of 13 kahanim had privileges in doing this avodah. Avon azel lefnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Yeshua derech halucha yikarav. It's not in the way that our mission described that limbs were brought up on the mizbeach, but it's brought up the way an animal walks. And we'll discuss this more on Amud Beis. Ibayilu. So the following question was asked. Kshem Mephaisin, when the goyel was done, Lavoy de Achas Mephaisin, was a goyel done who was the first winner, and then the next 12 kahanim were the 12 kahanim who stood immediately to the right of this winner? There was a separate goyel for every one of the jobs identified in the Mishnah. Tashma. We learned that the Mishnah says there were four gerolas. If we're going to say that for every avoider, there was a separate gerol, there were certainly many more than four gerolas. Why, if that is the way we say it happened, do we say there were only four gerolas? Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. Because they went in to do a goyel four times. Each time they would gather perhaps they made many lotteries. So that's not a proof, an answer to our question. Tashma, so Gemara says a different proof. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when a kohen won the right to do the ktoris, there was no other goyel for the person. There was one person who actually took the Torahs and burned it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. But there was another Kohen who carried the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzon to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So Yehuda says there was no goyel for the person who was going to carry the shovel with the coals. Al Kohen Shezach B'Torahs, the Kohen who won the right to do the Torahs, he says to the person standing next to him, that you should carry the shovel with the coals. So we see that there is no separate pious, rather the person who's going to carry the machter is just the person that stood to the right of the person who won the right to do the k'tiris. Says the Gemara, there's no proof from there. Because Shani machter k'tiris, the machter k'tiris, it's one avoider. So that's why we didn't make separate gerolas for both of these avoiders. However, perhaps when there are two distinct avoiders, separate piyusim would be made. Ikaba Amri, others say, Dafka Machdach Tyrus, strictly the Machdach Tyrus, the Chada Avoidihi, it's one avoider. That's why one pious is done. Avos Shara Avoidus, other avoiders, Boy Pious, will certainly require a pious because they're not a one avoider. So if anything, Rabbi Yehuda becomes a proof that we have to have a separate pious for every avoider. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that never is a separate pious done for every avoider. So why do you have to single out the machta? Machta itzuchalei. He had to single out the machta to tell us that we don't make a separate pious. Because we might have thought, as we will learn, the k'tiris is something that did not happen often. You cannot donate k'tiris. The k'tiris was brought twice a day. And as we will learn, the k'tiris was a skula that the person who brought it got wealthy. So maybe for that we should make a separate pious. Kamashma, that's what Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, that a separate pious was not made. Certainly for other avoiders that don't have these characteristics, a second pious was not made. So Tosfos asks, instead of bringing a raya from Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that not a separate pious was made, shouldn't we bring a raya from the Rabbanon, who argue Rabbi Yehuda? Seemingly the Rabbanon hold that a separate pious was made for the Machta. So Tosfos says there are two ways of understanding the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, and based on those two ways, he says why neither way will we be able to bring a proof from the Rabbanon. He says one pshat is that according to Rabbi Yehuda there was no pious at all for the person carrying the Machta. That means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the person who did the Ketores could have chosen to do the Machta also himself, or he could ask someone else. According to Rabbanon, the person next to him carried it. Or another pshat is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the person who won the Ketores, the person next to him did the Machta, and according to Rabbanon, there was a separate pious for the Machta. So if we learn the first way Tosfos explained Shitas Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon hold that there was no pious either for the Machta, so therefore we have no proof that there's separate pious for each Avodah. But even if we learn in the second way Tosfos explained, that Tosfos explained that according to Rabbanon, a separate pious was indeed done for the person carrying the shovel of coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzen to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, we will say strictly by the Ketores, which we just learned was Lo Shchicha, didn't happen often. We just learned that has this characteristic of Ma'asra, and makes the person who does it wealthy. There will the Rabbanon hold a separate pious is done. Everywhere else, they will not hold that a separate pious was done. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a proof that there were not separate piyusim for every avoider. The Tanir Rav Chia taught us a brisa. Lo l'cha avoider v'avoider mefaisim. They did not do a separate goyrel for every avoider. El kain shezach v'tamid, the kind that won the right to do the carbon tamid. Shneim eser achav kahanim, the 12 kahanim that stood to his right. And the shachem in my day follow, taking the next 12 jobs. Shmamina, from here we see that the 12 other jobs were not given by Goyrel, they just were won automatically by the 12 people who stood next to the winner. Pius Hasheni, when we second Pius, we said, was who's going to win the right to do the Shrita and who's going to want to do this right to Zrika. But it's interesting, our Mishnah didn't speak about Kabbalah. Who's going to do the Kabbalah? Obviously, either the Shoichit or the Zoyrik is going to do the Kabbalah. So that's why they asked, me Makabal, who actually did the Kabbalah Saddam? Do we say Shoichit Makabal, that the person who does the Shechita is the one that does the Kabbalah Saddam? The Amid Zoyrik Makabal, we're going to say the person who does Rika Saddam is the Makabal. Agav Chavavusei, there should be concern that since, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, doing the Zrika Saddam was such a choshva avoida, the person will get so excited to do the Zrika, loy makabalei l'kul adam, he'll forget to accept and to receive all the dam. Or dam zorik makabal, the am shoych makabal. Perhaps we should say the zorik should do the kabbalah, because if we're going to say the shoych should do the kabbalah, zimnun the shoych zor, as we explained, shchitas ksher b'zor. So perhaps the shoychit is a Zohar is Yisrael, Shechita he may do, however Kabbalah he may not do. If we're going to allow him to do the Shechita, Chas v'Sholem, he may come to do the Kabbalah, which a Yisrael may not do. Toshma, so we learned, there's a braisa that says, that originally the Kiyor had two spouts. Then Cotton went and made Shneim Osu Dad L'Kiyor. He made 12 spouts. Today, sheishneim asach kahanim asuk metamid, that the 12 kahanim who are doing the karmat tamid mekatshin yadayim v'reglayim v'asachas can all do kiddush yadayim v'reglayim at one time. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say, we'll explain it outside. If we're going to say that the person who does the zrika does the kabbalah, so the 12 kahanim that doing avoided that kiddush yadayim v'reglayim is required. But if we're saying that the shoych does the kabbalah, so for Shechita he doesn't have to do Kiddush Adayim Reglayim, because the halacha is that Shechita Ksher Bezor, if Shechita can be done by a Zor, any avoided that can be done by a Zor obviously doesn't require Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. But if the Shechita is doing the Kabbalah, he has to have Kiddush Adayim Reglayim because of the Kabbalah. It must be that the Zoyrik does the Kabbalah, and that's why 12 spouts are enough. If we're going to say the person who does the Shechita does the Kabbalah, we should have to have 13 spouts, because we need a spout for the person who's going to do the Kabbalah. Alav shmami no, zorik mekabel, that the Dvarik does the Makabal, he already has a spout, Shmamina. Amar Rav Acha B'Rei D'Ravel Rav Ashi, Af Anan Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah, Shachar HaShoichet, the Shoichet of the Shechita, the Kibbal HaMakabal, then Kabbalah is done, and that person who did the Kabbalah, Baal Elizra does the Shechita, Shmamina. From here we see that the Shechita, that the Kabbalah was done by the Zayrik. The Mikdash Tavit asks a question. He says that the Mishnah says in Daf Lamed Aleph that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, when he did the Shechita, didn't complete the Shechita. Rather, he started the Shechita, and somebody else completed the Shechita. Why? In order that he be able to do the Kabbalah. Because he can't do Shechita and Kabbalah. And the halacha is that all of the blood of the animal has to be received. So therefore, somebody else completed the Shechita, so he could immediately begin the Kabbalah. So ask the Mikdash David, if that's the case, how could our Gemara have a Havamina that the Shoichet should do the Kabbalah if he's going to do the Shechita and complete the whole Shechita? Because normally the entire Shechita is completed by one person, he won't be able to start doing the Kabbalah in the right time because he's still doing the Shechita when the blood is coming out of the neck of the animal. Answers the Mikdash David. On Yom Kippur, doing the Shechita is an Avodah. That's why only a Kohen Gadol could do the Shechita. Doing the Kabbalah is an Avodah. An Avodah has to be done with the right hand. So you can't do Shechita with your right hand and also do Kabbalah with your right hand at the same time. However, says the Mikdash David, our Gemara is speaking about Karban Tamid of all year round. All year round, the Shechita is not an Avodah. What's the proof? As we just said, Shechita K'sher B'Zor. Even a Zor could do the Shechita. Since Shechita is not an Avodah all year round, the person, if the Shoichet indeed was the Makabel, we would tell him to Shecht with his left hand. He's allowed to Shecht with his left hand. It's not an Avodah. Only a full-fledged Avodah must be done with the right hand. And then he could use his same right hand, he could use his right hand, which he's not using for the Shechita, to accept the blood from the Shechita that he's doing with the left hand. But that can only be all year round, not in Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah spoke about in what order the pieces of meat were carried up on the Keves of the Mizbeach. We said that the animal was carried up the way it walks. What is that? Harosh v'regel, one kind carried up the head and the hind leg, the right hind leg. Hachos v'ageira, the next one carried the breast and the neck. The next one carried shtei yadayim, the two forelegs. The next one carried shtei defanos, the two flanks. And the next one carried ha'oikos v'regel, the tail and the hind leg. Rav Yossi Aymer, derech hevshetei yakarev. It was carried up the way the animal is skinned. Ketzer derech hevshetei, what does that mean? Harosh v'regel is first, ha'oikos v'regel is second, shtei defanos are third, shtei yadayim are fourth, chos v'ageira are fifth. Rav Kiva Aymer, Rav Kiva says, derech nitucha yakarev. It was after it was skinned, it was dismembered, it was cut up. That's the way it was carried up. Ketzer derech nesucha, which would mean harosh v'regel first, shtei yadayim second, chos v'ageira third, shtei defanos fourth, ukos v'regel fifth. And there's a fourth shita, Rabbi Yosef Glili shita, derech iluy of hayikarv. It was carried up by the quality of the cuts of meat. Ketzer derech iluyav, harosh v'regel first, Chaz Ageir is second, Shtei Defanos third, Ukitz Varegel fourth, Shtei Yadayim last. So Rav Yossi said that we go according to quality. And he said that the flanks are a higher quality than the hind legs. Ask the Gemara for Ksiva, the Pasuk that says in Yecheskel, Kol Nesach Toiv Yoreach V'Kosef. There it says that the thigh, which means the hind legs, are better than the shoulders, than the flanks. So what is the better cut? Answers the Gemara, Hi B'Chusha. That's talking about a lean animal. A lean animal, we go according to the place that has more meat, which is the thigh. In a case of a fat animal, the shoulder is the fattiest area, and that's why it's the choicest portion. Now, our Mishnah in the Tanakhama listed the order on which it was carried up. None of the order that these four Tanoim just identified is the same, corresponds with what it said in our Mishnah. So our Gemara says that our Tana is going to follow the order of quality, like Rabbi Yosef Galili said, but there's only one difference. Amar Rava, Bein Tana the Dona, Bein Rabbi Yosef, both our Tana and Rabbi Yosef, Bossi Iluya the Bisra's Lina, goes after the quality of the meat. However, Mab Usul, our Tana goes Bossi Iver the Bisra, goes with the limb with the most meat. And that's why the limb with the most meat is offered first, and that's how he goes, that's the order. Omar also, Rabbi Yossi goes, bas shem the basra, not the one with the most meat, but the one that's the fattiest. My time is salka rogo behadiresha. Why does everybody agree that the leg goes together with the foot, with the right hind leg goes together with the head? Answers the Gemara, Mishum the Reish in the Fishabed Summers, since there are many bones in the head, Kavar Raglabadei, they also said to bring along with it the leg to make up, to compensate that the head doesn't have a lot of meat, so we bring up a leg that has on it a lot of meat.